When you're feeling down, you might chuck on music to help deal with your emotions. But it's not like you take a mental note of what the experience is like. Have a listen to these songs and consider how they make you feel. Hello from the other side. What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. That's my jam at the end there. But what's the point of this exercise? Well, Western Sydney University researchers reckon taking note of music choices might help young people with clinical depression. For more, I'm joined by Dr. Sandra Garrido from the Marx Institute for Brain Behaviour and Development. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here.
So you're developing an app for this and you'll be trialling it with 16 to 25-year-olds. How would it work?
Well, the idea of the app is that it just works off the music that young people are already listening to every day. So if they're logging on into Spotify or other streaming platforms or the radio or whatever, it's going to be popping up and asking them how particular songs are helping them, are making them feel. And that will help them to track over time and build a little bit of an understanding about things that are actually maybe contributing to their depression or that could be helping them.
So the music keeps playing while you use the app to take note of how you're feeling?
Yeah, it works very subtly in the background. So it's not something that you have to really interact with in a really major way. It's more like just little notifications that pop up while you're listening to music and you indicate how you're feeling, how it's made you feel. But then later on, you can go back to the app and look at some of the data that it's generating and dig into maybe the feelings and emotions that music is triggering you in a little bit more depth.
How will you ensure that this doesn't come across as, and I say this with respect, old people trying to tell young people to rethink their music choices?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is totally not about anybody telling young people what they should listen to. In fact, we're trying to get right away from that and just let young people explore their own relationship with music and work out for themselves what works and what doesn't. So it may be that screamo or whatever is really good for this individual. It's all about them just working out what works for them.
And I imagine straight up telling people to avoid certain genres or certain songs and artists simply doesn't work, right?
Definitely, yes. We've done a lot of studies with young people. And in fact, these studies and these ideas coming from young people are what have helped us to develop the app. And yeah, definitely, it's completely alienating if you're just hearing, oh yeah, your music is no good. So it's more about really just helping young people be empowered to make their own decisions.
So what's the science behind music and emotion? Like, take me back. Obviously, you're developing this app, but what does it say? I mean, anecdotally, I can tell you if I put an uplifting song, I feel good. If I put a moody song on, you know, I'm thinking about sad things that happened to me 20 years ago. You know, it's probably best I keep it upbeat. I've learned that.
Yes.
Does the science back that up, or is that just my own problem?
Yeah, no, you're pretty much on the right track. The thing is, feeling sad is actually a biologically adaptive emotion. So it's a helpful emotion because it makes us stop and have a look at our lives and think about what needs fixing. So there's nothing wrong with feeling sad for a period of time. But when we're talking about people with clinical levels of depression, rather than kind of working through emotions and coming out the other side feeling better, they're often getting stuck in their negative emotions. So yeah, for a lot of people, it's okay to kind of listen to that sad music and think about those things for a short period of time. And then most of us feel like we want to move on and listen to something a bit more upbeat. But often when you're talking about people with clinical depression, they can tend to get stuck there. And that's where a bit of extra awareness, can help sort of prompt them to understand when they need to move on and when it's good to be processing their emotions.
And how much of a change do you think you could have in someone's life, someone who's, dealing with depression or negative feelings? Could this have a substantial impact on them?
Well, we hope so. I mean, obviously there's going to be some people it will be more helpful for than others, but music is such a big part of the lives of young people. They're listening to it for 3 to 5 hours a day already, and the research shows that when they're feeling depressed, that only increases. And they don't very often want to go and see a mental health professional face to face. They don't want to do online learning modules about mental health. So, you know, we're hoping that this subtle approach is just a way for young people to start developing their own strategies for managing their moods and perhaps to direct them towards mental health services when that's needed.
And this is very individual, is it? I mean, a song that might sound depressing to me, for instance, might be uplifting to another person.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain features of the music that just tap into biological responses. So, for example, a slow tempo, our body tends to entrain to that, and it slows down your heartbeat and your respiration and everything so that you actually start feeling a little lower. So slow, you know, particular musical features actually have a physiological effect. But on top of that, that's overridden by our cognitive response to music. So a song that I might find really happy, if the last time you heard it was at the funeral of your best friend, it's not going to be a happy song for you. So there's a lot of different levels on which we respond to music, which is why it is such an individual thing.
And you study the link between personality and the emotional response to music. What does that say about the way we respond?
Yeah, again, there's just so many individual variables that come into it. For example, people who tend to be a bit introverted, they have sort of a lower threshold for stimulation, meaning they tend to not like music that's overly stimulating, whereas extroverts need music that's really quite stimulating. So that sort of thing makes a difference to our selections. Also, whether we tend to be a reflective kind of a person who likes to really think over things that have happened to us during the day, that can make a big difference in the type of music that we listen to, whether or not we're going for the beat in the music or whether we're attracted to meaningful lyrics, for example. So, yeah, our personality just has such a lot to do with it too.
It certainly does. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Sandra Garrido is from the Marks Institute for Brain, Behaviour and Development at Western Sydney University. And this is RN Drive. So what do you put on to make yourself feel good? I don't think there are any prizes for what I put on. If you've ever listened to this show, it's always a George Michael track. Look, even a ballad can put me in a good mood, but I do try and go for an upbeat song. Club Tropicana if I'm in a really good mood. 0418 226 576 is our text line.